You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello, everyone. Good morning to you. Welcome along to the official Football Writers Association podcast here with William Hill. Each and every week, we get one of the top sports writers in the land to preview the weekend's televised games. And this week, no different, we have Paul Haywood, the chief sports writer at the Daily Telegraph, on the line right now. First of all, good morning to you, Paul.
Good morning.
How are you doing, sir?
Very well, thank you.
Good. We're going to spin through the five televised games in the FA Cup fourth round. And last year, of course, Paul, this was the round for shocks.
Yes, it was. The fourth round more than the third round last year, actually. I think some of the Premier League teams just take their eye off it round about now, particularly the ones with Champions League fixtures coming up and so on, and that heavy concentration of Premier League games where they're starting to jostle for position and they can be vulnerable.
And we start off tonight with Derby versus Manchester United, and Derby are 11-4 to win this match, Paul. The draw is 9-4, Manchester United odds on at 19-20, enhanced odds here. Chris Martin to score and Derby to win is 8-1. Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win in the betting at 3-1. Paul, I saw your piece in the Telegraph regarding the Louis van Gaal situation and the rumours, which I don't think have been substantiated yet, that he offered his resignation following the Southampton game. Just put in your words what you think is going on with van Gaal at the moment.
There's a lot of confusion, obviously, but I think what happened was that over Christmas, he was in a very vulnerable position and the club had second thoughts about sacking him because they don't want to get into the habit of sacking managers. They don't want to develop that reputation at Manchester United, and they thought they'd give him another go. The form stabilised a little bit, but it doesn't take much to knock United off the rails again and to get the fans anxious and angry and to get the media speculation going again. And of course, that home defeat against Southampton did just that. Suddenly, everything looks fluid again and Van Gaal's position looks very unsafe. But as I understand it, he has the support of Ed Woodward, the chief executive there, and is safe for now. But an FA Cup defeat at Derby County clearly, might set everything off again.
And it was interesting reading your words, Paul, about how the regime has changed since Sir Alex Ferguson left his position as Manchester United manager. Ed Woodward is in almost full control with the support of the Glazers in making the decision now, and it didn't used to be that way.
No, I mean, it's Ed Woodward that's turned this club into a commercial powerhouse, if you like, and the Glazers love those numbers. They love the commercial revenue rolling in and the deals racking up and the sponsorships and partnerships around the world. This is their raison d'etre, in a way. And so what's happening is that Ed Woodward and Richard Arnold, the managing director, are really running the club with oversight from Joel and Avram Glazer, the two main Glazer brothers. And people imagine Manchester United as a sort of a democracy or a big board, but actually the football board, which contains the likes of Sir Alex Ferguson, David Gill and Bobby Charlton, is less influential these days than Ed Woodward and Richard Arnold, who are very much the commercial drivers of the club.
Something has to change with Van Gaal and Manchester United, though, doesn't it? Because going forward this season, Paul, they've been lamentable at times.
They have. I mean, I think what they're losing sight of, the owners at Manchester United, is how quickly you'll lose audience interest around the world and how quickly the fans here in this country will become disaffected if Manchester United serve up dull football, because that is not what Manchester United are. And you watch this side and they are simply not Manchester United. Two wins in 10, 11 first halves in which they've failed to score. The worst tally of shots on target at home in any of the 92 league clubs. This can't continue.
As far as this game is concerned, a tough game for Manchester United as well, because Derby, a decent championship side, there's a chance they might be looking to consolidate that spot in the playoffs, Paul, but they'll definitely be up for this.
Yeah, this had the look of a classic upset until Derby lost their form. I mean, they were top of the championship on Boxing Day, and since then, they've taken 2 points from five games and conceded 12. So, you know, Derby have their problems, and they've dropped from being looking like automatic promotion candidates to being perhaps one of the playoff sides. So, in a sense, this Manchester United game doesn't really come at a great time for them. It's glamorous, all right, but it could be seen as a distraction from the much more important business of getting into the Premier League. So it'll be interesting to see really how switched on Derby are for this game.
Do you think Manchester United might win this one?
Yeah, I think they should. If you ignore the Southampton result, which is actually quite hard to ignore, United had been stringing some results together. Wayne Rooney's back on form. You know, they've won the FA Cup 11 times. And you have to remember, of course, that this is really Van Gaal's only chance of winning a trophy now. They're out of the Champions League. I mean, there's the Europa League, obviously, I know that, but they're out of the Champions League. Their chances of finishing fourth in the Premier League are looking sort of increasingly shaky. So the FA Cup could actually become a big focus for them.
Manchester United 19-20 to win that game. Let's move on to Saturday's televised FA Cup clashes. And we start with Colchester versus Tottenham. 12:45 on Saturday, this one. Colchester 13-2, the draw 18-5, and Tottenham 7-20. It's been fun watching Spurs this season with Dele Alli and Harry Kane, two of England's brightest young stars, in the same lineup. And Mauricio Pochettino has the habit of bringing through these young players as well. They're looking good at the moment, Spurs.
They really are. I think they're one of the stories of the season. I'm hugely impressed with them. And it's not just the emergence of these young players. Eric Dier is another one. It's Tottenham's attitude in games, which has completely changed. I saw them at Arsenal recently, and they walked onto that pitch to boss the game, to control the game. And Spurs teams just didn't used to do that. There's a resilience and toughness about them now. Mm. They go behind in games. They get themselves out of trouble. There's a balance between defence and attack. You know, there are no sort of passengers in that team anymore. And they look like a serious item. I think they, over the summer, you know, they're going to have to strengthen again. The owners are going to have to invest to maintain this momentum. But I think Pochettino is the next candidate to be one of the really seriously top coaches in Europe.
And do you think Dele Alli and Harry Kane will be? I'm sure they'll be involved. They'll be in the squad, Roy Hodgson's squad, in the summer at the Euros. But do you think they'll both have starting berths?
Well, I hope so, because sooner or later an England team is going to have to be built around the real talent in the country. I think you have to start with the talent and build the team around that. And in Harry Kane and Dele Alli, I think you've got two extremely promising players, and I think they're ready. If they're ready to play at this level in the Premier League now, they're ready to start at Euro 2016. Because if you ask the question, okay, name the two players who are better than them in their positions, I don't think you can. Therefore, you start with your best players.
And do you think Pochettino will be fully focused on this match and look to go on a cup run, or do you think the lure of the top four in the Premier League is paramount?
I think that's paramount, but I don't think he would risk any kind of upset at Colchester. I mean, Colchester aren't in the best of form, are they? They're bottom of League One with 5 wins from 28 matches. I think no league win since the 20th of October. So they're having a pretty dire season. And although Spurs will rest a lot of first-team players, they'd still want to take care of this tie, I think, with a minimum of fuss.
OK, Spurs to win that game 7-20. Maybe look at Spurs 2 or 3-0 as well there. 2-0 is 7-1 and 3-0 in the betting at 17-2. On to the tea time fixture, which is Liverpool versus West Ham. Should be a belter, this one. Liverpool are even money to win it. The draw 23-10, with West Ham in the betting at 5-2. West Ham have actually done the double already over Liverpool this season, winning 3-0 at Anfield back in August and 2-0 at the Berlin ground in January. It's exciting being a Liverpool fan at the moment, I suppose, Paul.
Well, it is, I guess. It's exciting and frustrating at the same time, I think. This tie, of course, is a rerun of the great 2006 final in Cardiff, which was a belter. Liverpool won that on penalties. That was one of the best cup finals of recent times. Yeah, I think it is exciting to be a Liverpool fan, because They have a charismatic A-grade manager. It was a great coup for Liverpool to get Jurgen Klopp out of his sabbatical and into Anfield. I think Klopp might have had a bit of a shock when he got there, actually, in terms of the quality of the squad. I suspect sometimes he didn't quite read the brochure as carefully as he wished he had, because he was seduced by the tradition and the history of the club and the energy and the passion of the supporters. But, you know, he's had a good chance to look at the squad and will have seen that there's an awful lot of work to be done in terms of, you know, recruitment. And the main issue, as we know, is defensive weakness at set pieces. Liverpool are far too easy to score against in those situations. But at the same time, there is, when they're on song, they're an exciting attacking force with this new style of play, this Klopp style of play. And so they won't want to lose to West Ham for a third time. As you said, they're 5-0 down against them, and they've suffered 2 league defeats already. So they'll want to put that right, I think, in this FA Cup tie.
Do you envisage a complete overhaul from Klopp in the summer as far as personnel are concerned?
Well, that's the interesting question, because I think he would certainly want to undertake a complete overhaul. But I wonder still how much the American owners of Liverpool actually want to invest. A lot of the big buys they've made have been from money they've already earned from sales, Raheem Sterling and Fernando Torres and that type of player. So, you know, are they prepared to say to Klopp, we will give you £150 million in the summer window to completely rebuild this squad? If they do, I think they can go places. But with the current squad, they're going to be just nibbling at the edge of fourth place.
Yeah, I agree, Paul. And we've talked a lot about Liverpool, but not about West Ham. They are enjoying a terrific season. They've unearthed a gem in Dimitri Payet. He's been one of the outstanding players in the Premier League this season, Paul. And you saw the effect it had when he was injured, when West Ham went through that little dip. He seems to not only be incredible himself, he inspires those around him as well.
Yeah, for the first half of the season, you looked at him and thought, with no disrespect to West Ham, why is he at West Ham and how did they get him so cheaply? It's good that they did, because it means that good scouting and recruitment earns its rewards. You get a player like that, as you say, as a catalyst for the whole side. He doesn't just improve things in his own position. He lifts the play around him. And West Ham did extremely well last summer in buying players, choosing players, and indeed shipping players out. And if they maintain that level of recruitment, they're going to keep progressing, and their move to the Olympic Stadium, you know, it could be a really successful one.
What's the verdict on this match, Paul?
Well, I fancy, Liverpool had a draining night in midweek with that penalty shootout with Stoke. They've already reached one final. I think they'll like the idea of reaching two and having a bit of a Gerard Houllier year, you know, where they're in all the Wembley showpieces. And I think, even though there'll be some sort of achy legs around it, Tilda, I feel that they just will not want to lose again to West Ham, and they'll want to keep their kind of cup run going.
Liverpool even money to win the game on Saturday tea time, 5:30. Kick off that one. On to Sunday's live games. Carlisle versus Everton is first at 1:30 on Sunday. This one, Carlisle 11-2 to win it. The draw 7-2, and Everton 2-5. I've been talking all season about Everton and the outstanding squad they've assembled. They seem to me to be a team that are definitely underachieving at the moment, Paul.
Yeah, they are. 12th place in the Premier League is not good for a team who can call on Lukaku and Barkley and Stones. When they're attacking, they're a really vibrant team, Everton. But we know what their problem is. They don't defend as well as they attack. And I think they were perhaps at Manchester City in that League Cup semi-final when they went out. People said, here we go again, Everton can't defend. But I mean, it's incredibly hard to defend at Manchester City, it should be said, particularly when Sergio Aguero is on that kind of form. I think any team would have struggled in that situation on Wednesday night, even with a 2-1 first leg lead. But there is a pattern with Everton of them giving away goals too cheaply. And I don't think it's even the quality of the defenders as such. I think it's that they don't defend as a team. I think there are too few players involved in the defensive aspect of it when they're under pressure, and they need to get more, and they need a better defensive shape.
Do you think that's a failure with Roberto Martinez's management style? Because every single club he's been at, they failed defensively, and that's been that definitely seems to have been a downfall.
Yeah, it does. I mean, at Wigan, he overachieved at Wigan in one sense, and yet in the season they got relegated. I think they conceded something like 73 goals. And I think when he talked about, you know, clean sheets not being his first priority in the build-up to that Man City game, I think that was a mistake because it just reinforced this message that or this accusation against him that he doesn't really take defending seriously. I think he does in his own mind, but the results suggest that Everton can only go so far if they don't take care of that second part of the rear half of the team.
How long is he going to be given to turn Everton's form around? Will his position come under pressure shortly, or has he got a while to resolve things?
Well, Everton tend to be quite a patient club, as we know. But if they finish 12th this season in the Premier League, the pressure to hold on to those good young players is going to intensify because. You know, to say to young players, we finished 12th, but stay for two more years is quite difficult. Mm-hmm. They're more likely to be tempted away if they feel that Everton aren't going places. So it's a complicated dynamic.
And as for this match, Everton-Carlisle should be straightforward, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a romantic tie, this one, because Brunton Park, as we know, was flooded. And I think Everton are going to have to shower in a porter cabin across the road from the main stand. An awful lot of focus will be on the fact that the way Carlisle, the community pulled together, and their reward is this very very glamorous fourth round tie. But I think Everton will take care of business there.
And we finish the podcast with the MK Dons versus Chelsea, which is 4 p.m. on Sunday. The MK Dons 15-2 to win this match, the draw 7-2, and Chelsea in the betting at 1-3. Enhanced odds offers here, Dean Bowditch to score and MK Dons to win is 25-1. Oscar to score and Chelsea to win in the betting at 5-2. There's certainly a different feel about Chelsea at the moment, unbeaten in their last 8 games, and Diego Costa has started to turn it on now that Jose Mourinho has gone. He scored 6 in 6. The most astonishing thing from the whole of the Premier League season, Paul, is Eden Hazard's form. No goals in 27 appearances, which is just mind-blowing considering the season he had last year.
Yeah, I mean, you think he was the best player in the Premier League last year. He won both the awards. He was on a different level, really, and this season he's looked, hesitant, off the pace, sometimes not especially deeply interested in the game, or is there something bothering him? He's been a big disappointment because, you know, the Premier League doesn't really have many players like that at the moment. There's a talent deficit, certainly in relation to La Liga in Spain, and it's been a shame, really, that we haven't had Hazard's, you know, explosive kind of style of play to enjoy this year. But I was at the Arsenal game and Chelsea looked a completely different team, I must say. Fabregas was in control of midfield. Costa, as you say, was concentrating on the game. And even before Mertesacker was sent off, Chelsea were very busy, very industrious, you know, and looked like they wanted to sort of boss the game as they often do against Arsenal. I remember thinking this might be the start of the turnaround where they look like Chelsea again. And that's clearly a problem for MK Dons in this FA Cup tie, particularly as they had a bad result against Bolton. They're starting to slip a bit towards the relegation zone, and I'm sure, again, you know, MK Dons want to stay in that league and they'll want to beat Chelsea, but above all, they'll want to avoid relegation. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be preying on their minds a bit.
This could be a comprehensive victory for Chelsea. On Sunday, then, if you're looking at the handicap markets here, maybe have a look at Chelsea -1 or -2. -1 is 17-20. Chelsea -2 goals in the match in the betting at 5-2. Thank you for your company, Paul.
My pleasure.
Remember, you can follow Paul on Twitter if you wish to do so, @_PaulHayward. Thank you again to the chief sports writer at the Daily Telegraph, and We'll be back for more action on the next edition of the FWA podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.